Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, joined as always by Jordan, and today we're digging into Disney's fiscal third quarter, reported August 5th. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And there's a lot to get into here, Alex, because this was genuinely a strong quarter for the House of Mouse.
It really was. Let's start with the headline numbers. Total segment operating income was up 21% year over year, company-wide revenue grew 7%, and the star of the show was the experiences segment. That's parks, cruises, and consumer products, which hit a record $10 billion in quarterly revenue, up 10% from last year.
And it wasn't just revenue growing because people are paying more to walk through the gates. Global guest counts were up 4%, domestic park attendance was up 3%, and per capita spending was up another 4% on top of that. So you've got volume and pricing both moving in the right direction at the same time.
Which CEO Josh Damrow made a point of highlighting. He said flat out they're not discounting their way to volume growth, even though they rolled out things like after 2 p.m. pricing at Walt Disney World and Anaheim resident discounts. Those are targeted promotions to specific customer segments, not a sign of underlying weakness.
Right, and CFO Hugh Johnston backed that up when analysts pushed on it. International attendance in Shanghai and Hong Kong has been soft due to a weaker Asian consumer, but domestic tourism and local resident growth more than offset it. They actually raised full-year guidance for experiences operating income to the high end of their previous high single-digit growth range.
Now, let's talk content, because this quarter had a bit of a mixed bag theatrically. Toy Story 5 crossed $1 billion at the global box office. Huge win. But The Mandalorian and Grogu and the live-action Moana both underperformed expectations.
And here's the interesting part. Management basically said, so what? Hugh Johnston called the film business a portfolio game and pointed out that even when a movie doesn't crush it theatrically, the IP still pays off elsewhere. The Mandalorian and Grogu drove retail sales and traffic to the Millennium Falcon attraction at the parks. That's the whole Disney flywheel thesis. One story monetized across theaters, streaming, parks, and merchandise.
Which, by the way, Toy Story is the poster child for five films, over $4 billion in box office, 2 billion plus hours streamed, for theme park lands, 19 attractions, 2 hotels. That's a level of cross-platform integration that's genuinely hard for competitors to replicate.
And they got a nice tailwind they didn't even make. Sony Spider-Man had a record-breaking opening weekend this past weekend, and Josh was quick to point out Disney still owns a piece of that character's value through consumer products, parks, and streaming, even though Sony released the film.
Let's shift to streaming, because that's where a lot of the long-term story is being written. SVOD operating margin came in at 13% this quarter, and they're still targeting double-digit margins for the full fiscal year. Big milestone, too. Hulu subscribers can now link profiles and manage everything through the Disney Plus app, which is a step toward that One Disney unified experience.
And the announcement that got people talking this morning was the TikTok distribution deal. The idea is to bring curated TikTok content, they call it Verts, directly into Disney Plus, using it as a top-of-funnel engagement tool to make the app stickier and pull in new subscribers, especially younger ones already living on TikTok.
There was also real talk about a potential free ad-supported product, something in the fast channel space. Josh Damrow said they're exploring it partly as a price-sensitive customer acquisition tool and partly because, in his words, Disney is fairly well sold on ad inventory already, meaning more supply could actually accelerate ad revenue rather than cannibalize it.
On the advertising front generally, upfront commitments were up double digits, sports volume up low teens, and this is a nice flex. They've already sold out Super Bowl ad inventory. Sports remains a real strength. ESPN had its most watched first half of a calendar year since 2012, partly thanks to a Knicks-Spurs NBA Finals that was the highest rated in 28 years.
Now for the capital allocation piece, because this is where it gets interesting for investors directly. Disney bumped its share repurchase target from roughly $7 billion up to at least $9 billion for fiscal 26.
And Hugh Johnston was pretty transparent about where that extra buyback capacity is coming from. Cash that had been earmarked for the OpenAI deal, plus expected proceeds from divesting their stake in A+E Networks, which was announced the same night as earnings. So this isn't new organic cash generation. It's redeployed capital from other planned uses.
They're also still funding that massive $60 billion multi-year capital plan for experiences, new attractions like Villains Land in Orlando, the Avengers campus expansion in Anaheim, plus new cruise ships. And when analysts pushed on returns, basically, are you running out of good projects to fund? Johnston said no. Returns on invested capital have actually increased over time, and project timing is driven more by things like shipyard capacity than a shrinking pipeline of good ideas.
One thing worth flagging for listeners. There was a question about tariffs boosting this quarter's numbers, and management was clear that's basically a wash for the full year. About $100 million in tariff refunds hit this quarter, but that's offset by tariff costs paid earlier in the year. So the experience's outperformance is coming from genuine execution, not an accounting quirk.
So Jordan, pulling it together, what's the takeaway for someone tracking the stock?
I'd say the core story is a company that's diversified enough to absorb a couple of box office misses without blinking, because experiences and streaming are now doing the heavy lifting. Management reiterated double-digit adjusted EPS growth guidance for both fiscal 26 and 27, and this quarter's results back that up. The things to watch going forward are international streaming monetization, how that TikTok integration actually performs, and whether the Abu Dhabi park and cruise expansion stay on the timelines they're promising.
That's a great summary. Before we wrap up, a reminder from Jordan.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Disney's next earnings call, fiscal fourth quarter, is scheduled for November, and we'll be back to break it down when it happens.
Until then, this has been Beta Finch. Thanks for listening.